the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to episode 68 of the Bitcoin Miners and Related Equities. Today is August the 1st. We already reached August, so it's going to be a fun few months before we wrap up this year. Today, we'll be talking a little bit about Coinbase. We'll be trashing them as always. A little bit about Bitfarms, pretty good update from them. Another good update from Iris Energy, and a little bit of odds and ends on top of that. But before we go any further, just want to ask that you could please like and subscribe and share. That would help us out tremendously with growing this channel. And with that being said, let's talk about our sponsors. And our first sponsor is ShakePay, the best place to buy and, of course, never sell your Bitcoin. Open up an account with our referral code below, fund your account with $100 and use that to buy $100 of Bitcoin or the competing altcoin that they have on their platform, and ShakePay will gift you $30, no questions asked, it will be added to your account. Also, if you open up the ShakePay account after using our referral code below, you unlock the ability to shake your phone and get some free partial Bitcoin known as Satoshis. Do this on consecutive days, you get more and more Satoshis. And on a 365th day, you will be as a total of 1,000 Satoshis per day. So it makes sense to, once a day, open up your phone, open up the ShakePay app, and shake that phone and get some free Satoshis. Also, you have the ShakePay Visa card. You could use that to buy anything you want, groceries, gas, whatever it is you need to get. And the first $5,000 of your purchases, 2% will be returned back to you in Bitcoin. Everything beyond that, 1% will be returned to you in Bitcoin, and all the Bitcoin will just be added to your ShakePay account. Not too bad. The last thing they have is the Shake Squads, where you could team up with up to four other ShakePay users. Anytime any of those ShakePay users uses the ShakePay Visa card, 42 Satoshis will be gifted to everybody in the Shake Squad. Makes sense to find up to four people that are active users of the ShakePay Visa card, because lots of Satoshis will be raining from the sky and you'll be able to collect a bunch of them. So we like ShakePay, we recommend ShakePay, and check out ShakePay, open up an account with our referral code below. And our second sponsor is Ledin. And with the Bitcoin that you bought on ShakePay, why not put it on the Ledin platform and earn some interest? Open up an account and fund your Ledin account with 150,000 Satoshis or 75 USDC. And if you keep it on their platform for 15 consecutive days, Ledin is going to gift you 10 USDC. And if you have a large Bitcoin stack and you have some bills, you need some money, well, Ledin is there to help you out. You can borrow against your Bitcoin, 50% loan to value, and you can use that money whatever you want. And you don't have to sell your Bitcoin. Ledin is there to give you a helping hand. On top of that, they do have the B2X option. If you believe the price of Bitcoin is going up, and I do, I am eternally the bull with the price of Bitcoin, you could double up your Bitcoin stack with the B2X option, and you could time it right. And once you're at a price where you're happy, you pull out and you have some more Bitcoin simply by timing the market correctly and using Ledin's B2X option. And the last thing they have is the Bitcoin-backed mortgages. An industry first, but not available in every jurisdiction. So check it out on their website to see where they offer it, but also check their website to see what are the borrowing and savings rates, because these change on a month-to-month basis. All right, so the first story of the day is about Sphere 3D, and it's under the ticker NEANY listed on the NASDAQ. But anyways, pardon the pun. This came out just last week, this news, and Sphere 3D received a notice from NASDAQ, and the reason why is their price of their stock has fallen below $1 for 30 consecutive business days, and a requirement for to be listed on NASDAQ is you have to be above that $1 threshold, and they have 180 days, calendar days, to be compliant, and that brings them to January 23rd, 2023, and at which point they have to have their stock price close at above $1 for a minimum of 10 consecutive trading days. interesting stuff. The price of Bitcoin has gone down quite a bit in the past while. Everybody's aware of that. It's impacting all these mining stocks. Again, everybody's aware of that. How is Sphere 3D going to get around this? Well, potentially getting delisted if they do nothing, but I suspect there's going to be a reverse split should the price of Bitcoin stay stagnant for the next couple of months. So I suspect come around October, November, if you don't see anything with the price of Bitcoin pumping, which is impacting the price of Sphere 3D's stock price, there's going to be news, at least that's my opinion. I could be wrong, but you'll hear some news that they're going to do a reverse split, and that will get them above the threshold of the $1. It doesn't really change anything and just have less shares out there. The value of the company doesn't change one bit. It's the market cap remains the exact same. It's simply just an administration change. But nonetheless, if you are a Sphere 3D holder, and if they do go about the process of doing a reverse split, you're going to notice the price of the stock goes up and the number of shares that you hold are going to be going down. But in terms of the overall market cap, it's going to remain the same. So something to consider if you are a Sphere 3D holder, a bag holder of their company, because there's a potential reverse split coming up. Again, nothing really crazy, but I suspect they want to remain on NASDAQ. Just my thoughts. Some cool news coming out of the Canaan camp, and they're the ASIC mining manufacturing company. And, well, let's take a look what it is. So they have announced they're going to be launching a U.S. mining operation. So they're going to be starting to mine a little bit more Bitcoin. They have already piloted a project in Kazakhstan where they have sent over 10,000 miners. There were the Avalon mining units in Kazakhstan, and apparently this was such a success that now they're going to be expanding their mining operations in the United States. I like to see this. This is really cool stuff when you see a Bitcoin ASIC manufacturer getting into the mining game. I suspected it was always going to be a energy producer that was going to do that, but to have an actual manufacturer of ASICs equipment get into mining, I think that's rather cool. When is Bitmain going to be doing the same thing in the next little while? But nonetheless, just a cool story that they're going to be expanding their Bitcoin mining operations. And Kazakhstan, I know it's cheap energy, but you never know what's going to be happening over there. For them to set up shop in the United States, you get a potential much clearer path forward. You're not going to have political instability. You're going to have set prices. You're probably not going to get rugged in a number of different ways in the United States than you are in Kazakhstan. So in terms of Bitcoin mining, I like this because moving into the U.S., you're going to get much more stability moving forward. And I'm curious to see how they're going to be expanding their operations. How much is it going to get? How big is it going to get? How much Bitcoin are they going to mine? What's going to be their hash rate? Something we'll have to inspect moving forward. But yeah, really cool stuff that they're going to be mining Bitcoin more in the United States. Really cool. And the next story, because we can't go a day without talking about the show Whipping Boy, is Coinbase. And here's the article that came up. And so essentially it is Coinbase Prime will now offer ETH staking to institutions in the US. And here's the article which outlines exactly what it's all about, and talks about ETH transitioning to a proof of stake rather than a current proof of work. And a proof of stake is going to be done sometime next month, according to the roadmap that I see. And it mentions what's the difference between ETH and ETH2, why staking is required. But the fact that they're offering this, it's, you know, they're getting further and further away from what brought them to the dance, which was Bitcoin. And now they're offering ETH staking to institutions. I guess that's a good thing. It might be able to draw in some new revenue to Coinbase, and they're probably dying for new revenue. But in the grand scheme of things, really, Coinbase? Every time it's another story that comes out for them, it's another shake my head moment. And here I am again, just doing it again. ETH staking, get out of here. All right, so we have a good news story coming out of Irish Energy, and we talked to their CEO, Dan Roberts, not too long ago. You may want to check out that interview. I'll post a link here above. Check her out. And they have announced today, well, before we figure out what's going on today, so not too long ago, they raised their outlook for what they're trying to achieve in terms of their hash rate. And It was announced just in June that their estimate is going to be to 4.3 exahash per second. That's their goal for later this year through an order that is being done through Bitmain, and they're ordering a whole bunch of S19 that are going to be, I think it's a J Pros, that's what they've announced. But nonetheless, at that time it was noted that the company had $41 million in debt. Well, they're rolling the dice. They're going to be trying to get some more hash rate, because just today, got to get that Wojak music going, because this is a pump style story. And they've increased their hash rate, their expected hash rate for the delivery of miners coming this month, from 4.3 exahash, 4.3 to 6.0. That's a huge jump. 1.7 exahash per second jump just for this particular increased order. Not too bad. And so they've increased the order. They're going to be ordering extra S19 J Pros. That's the ones that they've placed an order, and they're all coming in the month of August 2022. Really good stuff coming out of Irish Energy. This is the stuff you want to see. Let's turn off that music. They are anticipated to get to double digit exahash by next year. They're rolling the dice here. They're getting a little bit more in debt from what I could see, and they're just simply using that money that they've borrowed and that they have capital, whatever the heck they have, they're using, is they're getting more miners. They're going nuts here. I like it. The price of Bitcoin, can it remain stagnant for too long? Shoot, it's always showing Moscow time, but on my block clock. But nonetheless, the price of Bitcoin can't stay stagnant forever. It's got to go up. Companies like Irish Energy, they're going to take huge advantage of this, because they're going to be expanding their hash rate. 6.0 exahash per second. Not a small number. They are bringing themselves up to the upper echelon of Bitcoin miners. Love it. I want to see more like this. Hopefully they don't get rug pulled by if the price of Bitcoin dives down too deep and their debt becomes too burdensome for them to hold in. But I'm optimistic. I'm ever the bull of Bitcoin price. I want to see it move up, hopefully for Iris's energy's sake. And I don't have anything in my holdings for them, so it's a very neutral position. I like it. I like Dan Roberts. I like his approach. Check out that interview. That's pretty cool. Pretty good one. But anyways, good stuff from Iris Energy. This is what you want to see from Bitcoin miners. Deploying capital, getting more equipment out there, hashing, increasing their hash rate, and just rocking and rolling. Good stuff for Irish Energy. And the final story is another good one coming out of the Bitfarms camp, and they announced their July 2022 production update. And I love the way they do it. It's very concise. It's very orderly. I wish other companies were as structured like this when they come up with their monthly reports, but I digress. And this is another one that requires the Wojak pump music. What happened with this? Well, they increased their Bitcoins that they mined for the month of July. 500 Bitcoin they mined for just the 1 month. That's a record for Bitfarms. Their average per day for the month of July was 16.1 BTC per day, but by the end of July was 17 Bitcoin per day. Good news, they increased their hash rate. Their hash rate now is 3.8 exahash at the end of July. That's up from 3.6 exahash at the beginning of July. More good news, their hash rate is going to exceed the 4 exahash target that they set in August. Really good stuff. They just continually grow. They have their infrastructure in Argentina where they're getting very, very cheap, very competitive energy over there. Unfortunately, the climate may not be the greatest. Let's turn off the pump music. The political climate may not be the greatest in Argentina. The good news is what they do have placed over in that country is their older stock of mining equipment. So should things go really, really bad, they're not going to lose in terms of having the newer equipment getting confiscated, or pick your poison here, because they're dealing with Argentina. You never know what's going to happen. So in the grand scheme of things, really good stuff. I love to see this update. Their hash rate goes up, and it's going up at a decent clip. They're going to eclipse their 4.0 exahash per second for the month of August. The amount of Bitcoin they mined, 500 for the month, and the amount of Bitcoin they now have in custody is just surpassed 2,000. They have 2,021 Bitcoin on the reserves as of July 31st. Remember, they sold a whack of their Bitcoin not too long ago because of problems with debt and the price of Bitcoin going down tremendously. Yeah, so all in all, how could you go wrong with this update? I like it. There's the price of Bitcoin. Come on, Bitcoin pump. But that's aside from that, that's a different story. Go down BitFarms. I'm going to post our interview, the link to it, with an interview with Ben Gagnon. I'm going to post it right there. Check her out. If you're not a BitFarms investor, after watching that, you will want to be a BitFarms investor. The man is brilliant. He knows his stuff. And the fact that BitFarms have him as their chief mining officer, so bullish. And that's why I'm very clear. I do own some BitFarms, and I'm happy that I do own it. Even though they sold a bunch of their Bitcoin at a relatively low price, I understand why they did it. Long term, I'm still bullish. So yeah, 500 Bitcoin they mined for the month of July. Wow, like that's a lot. And yeah, how could you go wrong with this? Another good story. More I want to hear like this. And you know what? Just want to make one point. There's going to be a lot more of these stories coming out, because in the next few days we're going to get a lot of updates from Bitcoin miners for the month of July, their production updates. So be very, very keep your eyes open. It's going to be a lot of information flowing out in the next few days. Hopefully a lot of good news. All right, so that's it. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I just want to make sure you're aware before I sign off that I'm not a financial advisor. Joey's not a financial advisor. Nobody in the show has ever even come close to being a financial advisor. So make sure you do your own research before you park your money into anything we talk about. And lastly, we are going to be having our live stream tonight about it's a flagship, so please check it out. 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern. I know it's not too long from now, but still, check it out. It's going to be lots of fun, and we do a lot of engagement with the people in the chat. So definitely recommend you tuning into that. And with that being said, we'll probably be chatting again tomorrow, so take care. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to episode 69. What a great number of the Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin related equities episode. And this episode, as always, is part of the CBP Media Network. Today is August the 2nd, and there's not too much to talk about today, but one of them, the stories that I'll be talking about, is about DigiHost. And it's a company that I was pumping last year when they were trying to get listed, and successfully did get listed on NASDAQ. So I'll be talking about some news that came out of them just today, and also much maligned Bitcoin miner Marathon, and we'll be discussing what's going on with that camp. But before we go any further, just want to ask if you could please like, subscribe, and share, because that would greatly help us out with growing this show. But with that being said, let's talk about our sponsors. And our first sponsor is ShakePay, the best place to buy and, of course, never sell your Bitcoin. And if you use our referral code below to open up an account and you buy $100 worth of Bitcoin or the competing altcoin they have on their platform, ShakePay will gift you $30. You'll just be added to your ShakePay account. No questions asked. Second thing they have the Shaking for Sats feature. So if you open up an account with our referral code, you'll be able to unlock the feature of shaking your phone with the ShakePay app being open, and they will reward you with partial Bitcoin known as Satoshis. Do this on consecutive days, you get more and more, and it increases to a point of 1,000 Satoshis after the 365 days of consecutive shaking. So it makes sense to open up your phone, shake that bugger, I'm talking about the phone only, and you're good to go. Third thing they have is the Visa card. It's a ShakePay Visa card where you can load up your ShakePay app with Canadian dollars and use the ShakePay card to, well, buy whatever it is you need to buy, flowers, groceries, gas, whatever the heck you need. And ShakePay will reward you with Bitcoin. The first $5,000 you purchased with the ShakePay Visa app, 2% will be given to you in Bitcoin. And everything beyond that 1% of all purchases will be given back to you in Bitcoin. And all that Bitcoin will be added to your ShakePay account. The last thing they have is the Shake Squad, where you could team up with up to 4 other ShakePay users. And anytime anybody in your Shake Squad uses the ShakePay Visa app, 42 Satoshis are going to be awarded to everybody in the Shake Squad. So it makes sense to find people that are active in the ShakePay community, shaking their phone and using the ShakePay Visa card, because you're going to be rewarded with a heck of a lot of Satoshis simply by using ShakePay. Now you have a lot of Bitcoin thanks to ShakePay. Well, what are you going to do with it? Why not dump it on the Ledin platform and earn some interest? So with Ledin, open up an account with our referral code, put 150,000 Satoshis on their platform or 75 USDC. Keep it on there for 15 calendar days consecutive, and they'll reward you with 10 USDC. And if you need money and you don't want to sell your large stack of Bitcoin that you bought, so they're there to help you out. You can borrow against your Bitcoin, 50% loan to value, you're good to go. So you could get some money without selling your Bitcoin, and you could pay it back later on. Also, Ledin offers the B2X option. If you believe the price of Bitcoin is going up, you could double up your stack simply by using B2X. And when the price of Bitcoin goes up high enough, you pull out. Don't be an Elon. And once you do that, now you have more Bitcoin on your stack just by timing the market and using the B2X option provided by Ledin. The last thing they have is the Bitcoin-backed mortgages. These are an industry first. But check it out on their website because it's not available in every jurisdiction. Also check their website to see what are the savings and borrowing rates because these change on a month-to-month basis. And with all the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. All right, so for the first story, it's some news that came out of the Marathon camp. And before we dive into that particular news, I just want to put some context to this. So this is a chart from Marathon that was released just in the last month or so. And this chart indicates how much Bitcoin they have mined each month. And what is noticeable here is that since December of last year, December 2021, the amount of Bitcoin that they're mining on a monthly basis is going down, and it's a steady decline. So by December of 2021, they reached a high of 484.5 Bitcoin that they mined for that month. And it went to a point where they mined a mere 140.1 in June of 2022. And so it's just a steady decline month over month. This is partially or mostly the reason of some bad luck due to weather issues. They have a data center located, or they had a data center located in Hardin, Montana, and it had a significant amount of miners doing their thing over there. But unfortunately, there was a bad weather event, and it caused this data center to stop hashing away because it just created havoc and there was some damage. And as a result, Marathon is now in the process of relocating all the mining equipment that they had in that location and hardened to somewhere else. So, long story short, they're in a lull right now until everything can be plugged back in and they'll be able to make more Bitcoin as a result. So, this is the environment we are in terms of what Marathon is standing on. So, I just wanted to put some context here before we talk about the news story. And here we go. So, what happened just today is Marathon announced that they're going to be increasing their debt load by an additional $100 million. And this is a revolving line of credit. And this is going to be added on to their existing line of credit. And so this $100 million that they're adding on to their existing line of credit started on July 28th. So from this most recent line of credit that they've gotten from Silvergate Bank, it is going to be in tranches from what I could tell. $50 million at the time of closing is going to be given, and additional $50 million could be drawn upon within 270 days after closing. And to note here, it says the variable interest rates, it comes with a 7.25% APY initially. So keep that in mind. It's a variable interest rate. $100 million is not an insignificant amount of money. 7.25% is a very sizable interest rate, but notably the interest rates set by the Federal Reserve, they're going to be going up this year, and it's already gone up quite a bit in the past few months, and it's expected over the next few months for the remainder of this year, it's still going to be increasing by another 75 basis points. So that 7.25% variable interest rate that's being provided by Silvergate Bank is going to be even more costly as interest rates go up. So servicing that debt is going to be more problematic going forward. Which now leads me to Marathon's ability to stomach any sort of increase in interest rates. As you could tell, they've didn't really mine all that much Bitcoin in the past, and you know, over time. In fact, I'm just going to plug this in just so you get another visualization of what's going on. Like, this does not scream to me a healthy Bitcoin mining company. This shows that there's, you know, they're going the wrong way. This will change. This will eventually go up as their miners get plugged in. But still, how long is it going to take to have them all plugged in? That is the question that remains to be seen. So until then, they're going to be straddled with this extra potential $100 million debt. Initially, it's $50 million. It could draw the remaining $50 million within the next 270 days. But still, it's a lot of money that they're going to be added extra debt on a company that's mining less Bitcoin. So all that being said, some real concerns with Marathon. If I was an existing Marathon investor, I would consider relocating my capital elsewhere, because things may not look pretty, especially if the price of Bitcoin doesn't go up. We're at 23,000 right now. If the price of Bitcoin doesn't go up, how is Marathon going to be able to manage this added debt load? Will they have to do something else? Sell their ASICs, borrow against their ASICs, dilute the company? I don't know, but a lot of questions moving forward, and I'd be very concerned if I was a Marathon investor. And the final story I have is from news that came out of the DigiHost camp. Pretty good news at that. And they talked about their July update and how much Bitcoin they mined. And I'll do a comparison between their July's and June's comparison to see how they're doing on a month-to-month basis, so you could have an idea how things are playing out over a very small period of time. But before we get to that, I just want to point out, in the press release that came out from their camp, they were talking about their Alabama site build-out, and they plan to have 28 megawatts available to them by the end of the third quarter of 2022, and a total of 55 megawatts available to them by the first quarter of 2023. So they are actively expanding the amount of power that they're going to have available to them. Furthermore, they're moving some of their existing mining fleet from their location in New York to Alabama. And they announce here it's to benefit from lower energy costs. But I'm wondering if there's anything to do with what's going on in the state of New York and the fact that they are trying to be more anti-Bitcoin, anti-proof of work. I'm not exactly sure if their facility in New York is tied to something that is carbon-based energy generation, like coal, oil, natural gas, whatever the heck. So one of those that would really be ruffling the feathers for the people in the state of New York. So I'm not sure exactly if their facilities do that, but nonetheless, they're moving their mining operations and mining equipment over to Alabama to take advantage of cheap energy, which is really cool. But in terms of what they did for the month of July, I'll try doing a direct comparison. So the month of June, note that they mined 72.18 Bitcoin. And in the month of July, it went down to 64.17. So that's down about 8 Bitcoin for the month of July in terms of how much they mined compared to the previous month. Also to note is the total Bitcoin they had in their holdings in June was 293.3, and in July it's 220.09. And this is as a result, it says here, to avoid equity dilution for its shareholders, management sold a portion of its BTC production during the month to fund its energy costs. So that's why their total holdings of Bitcoin went down. Also to note is their Ethereum holdings remain the same and has been for some time. It hasn't moved at all. So whatever Ethereum they have is what they have. They're not actively mining anymore. Also, I just want to point out that the cash reserves that they had was $5 million at the end of June, and it's gone down to $4.5 million at the end of July. So there is a little bit of cash bleed through this company. And one last thing that is relatively big, I just want to point out, is the company is debt-free as of July 31st, 2022. Love it. You know, like, again, if this is playing it safe, I don't know what else to say. Like, they're playing it safe here. Steady as she goes. They're not going to be borrowing money or doing anything crazy to expand their operations. They're just trying to looks like they're remain as close to having zero debt, or having exactly zero debt, which they have right now, which is pretty good. The bad thing, they mined less Bitcoin this month from last month. The hash rate has gone down in July comparison to June. So there's no indication what happened, why they went down in terms of the hash rate, in terms of the Bitcoin they mine. I presume it's because they're moving their equipment from the New York State site to Alabama, but nothing concrete, so it's just me trying to connect dots. I could be incorrect in my assessment. Nonetheless, long-term, DigiHost seems like a pretty decent play. Again, with being debt-free, with continually trying to expand their operations in Alabama with cheap energy, albeit small, still, it's a gain. And I like this company. I was very bullish on them last year, especially as they successfully got listed on the NASDAQ, and I will remain bullish on DigiHost moving forward. One thing that may be something to consider, though, is that this may be a company that could potentially be bought out in the future. Considering that it is debt-free, it's not extremely large in the grand scheme of things. So this is something that maybe a larger Bitcoin miner, or potentially even an energy producer, like somebody that does oil and natural gas, they might potentially buy up a company like this, use their expertise in terms of building out the infrastructure and making a bigger and much more robust company. That's just hypothetical, but for the time being, I think it's a rather decent buy. It's long term. I don't see really much downside to this. They're playing it safe. So if you want to have a Bitcoin miner that is trying to play it safe, this is one I would certainly consider. They are laser focused. They're not dealing with any of the alts. They do have some Ethereum on their platform, but they have maintained that ETH for some time. They haven't, that number has not gone up. So they stopped mining it, or they stopped accumulating. This I like to see. So again, all in all, good story from DigiHost. Not good enough to require the Wojak pump music, but still, I think it's still pretty good. It's just too bad the amount of Bitcoin they mined last month in July was even lower than June, but I suspect this is just temporary until they have all their miners set up and hashing away. And that's it. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I want to make sure you're aware that none of the information I talk about is financial advice. So make sure you do your own research before you buy anything that we talk about, because I'm just some guy standing in front of a wall with a block clock and some pictures and hats. So with that being said, take care. We'll probably be talking again tomorrow, and hopefully you have a green day. So take care. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to episode 70 of the Bitcoin Miners and Related Equities, all part of the CBP Media Network. Today is August the 4th. And some really cool news coming out of the Coinbase camp that is pumping things up over there. They have been the show whipping boy up until now. Have they turned a corner, or is this a mirage? We'll see. Also, some good news coming out of CleanSpark and a report from Riot that appears to be bad on the surface, but we'll dive into it, and it looks like it's much better than it appears. So stick around. There's a lot to talk about. And we can't go any further without talking about our sponsors. And our first sponsor today is ShakePay, the best place to buy and never sell, but you can sell if you wanted to, your Bitcoin. And if you open up an account with our referral code below and you fund it with $100 and use it to buy $100 of Bitcoin or the competing altcoin they have, ShakePay is going to gift you $30. Add it to your account, no questions asked, you're good to go. Also, if you open up an account with our referral code, you unlock the ability of shaking your phone with the ShakePay app open, and you get some free Bitcoin added to your account. Not too bad. It's partial Bitcoin on Satoshis. Do it on consecutive days, you get more and more, to the point if you do it for 365 straight days, it becomes 1,000 Satoshis added to your account every day you shake your phone. Also, ShakePay has the Visa app where you can load up your ShakePay app with Canadian dollars. And with that, you could then use the ShakePay Visa card to buy your purchases of groceries, gas, wine, whatever the heck you got to buy. You're good to go. First $5,000 you buy, 2% will be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin added to your account. And everything beyond that 1% added to your account in Bitcoin. You also have the ShakePay promotion still going on. So you have every time you use the ShakePay Visa card, you roll the dice, you potentially could get the whole purchase returned back to you in Bitcoin. So why not continually use the Visa app, the ShakePay Visa app? And the last thing they have is the Shake Squad. So team up with up to four people that you know or don't know. It doesn't really matter as long as you're four ShakePay users. Anytime anybody in your Shake Squad uses the ShakePay Visa app, everybody is going to be rewarded with 42 Satoshis. Again, another way to add sats to your stack. Simply by using the ShakePay Visa card with the Shake Squads. ShakePay, I love it, I recommend it, and I use it. And then what are you gonna do with all that Bitcoin that you bought? Why not put it on the Ledin platform and earn some interest? Open up an account with our referral code below, and you fund your account with 150,000 Satoshis or 75 USDC. Leave it on your platform for 15 consecutive days, and Ledin will reward you with 10 USDC. Also, if you have a large Bitcoin stack and you don't want to sell, but you have bills, well, Ledin is there to help you out. You can borrow against your Bitcoin, 50% loan to value. They'll give you the money and you could do what you want with it. Not too shabby. Also, if you are feeling lucky, the B2X option is for you. The B2X option, you could double up your Bitcoin stack. So if you believe the price of Bitcoin is going up, B2X is for you, because once the price goes up to a point where you're happy, pull out from the B2X and voila, you have more Bitcoin on your stack simply by timing the market and using the B2X option. The last thing they have is the Bitcoin backed mortgages, an industry first, but not available in every jurisdiction. So make sure you check their website to see where that's being offered, but also check their website to see what is the borrowing and lending rates, because these change on a month to month basis. All right, so with the formalities finally out of the way, let's get hashing. Well, leading things off is a ho-hum story from WonderFi. And they recently completed the purchase of BitBuy and Coinberry, two exchanges in Canada. Well, it was just announced that they are going to be looking to expand BitBuy's operation internationally into Australia, United States, and the United Kingdom. They submitted applications to operate in those jurisdictions. This is really good news because it's lots of money that is available in each of those three countries, even though there's a downturn in the economy, but they are still rich in comparison to other countries in the world. So this is good news for BitBuy. If they could take even a small bite of the pie, that could be very lucrative for BitBuy. Another thing that's going on, good for the investor, bad for if you're working in either BitBuy, Coinberry, or WonderFi, they are going to be streamlining processes. So since purchasing both BitBuy and Coinberry, there must be, and it's actually being announced here, that there's some processes that are duplicated. So they're going to streamline the process internally, and they anticipate it will reduce expenses associated with salary and wages by approximately 20%. And this is going to reduce the operating cost and make things a little bit more cost efficient in the end. So it unfortunately looks like there's going to be some job losses as a result. It's too bad for the people that are going to be suffering and losing their jobs, but it's unfortunately it's part of the game. When you get absorbed by a bigger organization, it's quite possible that there's some jobs that are going to be lost, because if there's a duplication in services, they're not going to want to keep that around. They're going to try to streamline the processes as much as possible. So this is good news and bad. So the good news as an investor, yeah, it's not bad. This is something that's pretty good because they're going to be more profitable in the end. But on the bad side, I feel for the people that will potentially lose their jobs. That's why I said it was a ho-hum news story from WonderFi. The expansion in the UK, in Australia, and in the United States of BitBuy, if those applications get approved, it can be theoretically something that could be massive. Like I said, if they could take even a small part of the pie that's existing right now, that's a lot of money that they could take on, and it can make WonderFi even that much more lucrative. So that's it for WonderFi. I know a lot of people are very bullish on them. Hopefully this makes them even more bullish. CleanSpark just recently announced their July 2022 production update, and I'm going to do a side-by-side comparison between the June update to July, so you get an idea of what's going on a month-to-month basis. So here we go. This is the July update, and as you could see that they mined for the month of July 384 in comparison to June 339. So this is an increase from the previous month. Very good. That's something you want to see. The total Bitcoin they have in holdings as of July 31st is 519, and in June was 561. So they did sell more Bitcoin this month than they had last month. In total, they converted 426 Bitcoin for operational and growth purposes. And finally, their hash rate is being reported at the end of July as being 2.9 exahash per second. And that is up from 2.8 exahash per second from the previous month. So all in all, pretty good news from CleanSpark. It's a slow but steady as she goes approach. And they've always been on the same course. Even when the price of Bitcoin is much higher, they've been selling their Bitcoin. Now it's, you know, considerably lower. They're still selling their Bitcoin. They've never been one to hold on to their Bitcoin. It hasn't been their MO. That's fine. Every Bitcoin company has their own way of doing business. And CleanSpark, well, this is the way they do it. And once the price of Bitcoin moves up, what are they going to do with that extra cash from the Bitcoin that they're going to sell? Are they going to expand their operations even further? Something to see as the price of Bitcoin moves up. CleanSpark could be in a very unique position to expand quite a bit in comparison to their peers. Riot also announced their July 2022 production update. And on the surface, you'd look at it and say, this isn't all that great. You'd be scratching your head, what's going on here? But if you dig deep, you could understand there's more to it than meets the eye, and it could be rather bullish, and I'll explain why. So in July, and I'm going to do a comparison between June and July. So in July of 2022, Riot produced 318 Bitcoin. And in June 2022, they produced 421 Bitcoin. So in June of this year, they produced over 100 more than July of this year. And even further, if you want to compare from last year to this year, July 2021, they produced 443 Bitcoin versus July 2022 at 318. So still, that shows another substantial drop in this July compared to last July. And if you want to compare last June compared to June 2022, they mined 421, as I mentioned. And June 2021, they mined 243 Bitcoin. So that's a substantial increase from June of last year to June of this year, but the July numbers went down from July of last year to July of this year. All right, so all that being said, you'd be saying things are not really going that great. Well, not so, because Riot, they earn quite a bit of power credits from the power authority in Texas, and this is due to curtailment activity, and essentially it's $9.5 million that they've accumulated due to this curtailment activity. And that equates to approximately 439 Bitcoin as of the average price in July of 2022. So just because they've reduced the amount of Bitcoin they mined, they've increased the amount of power credits that they have accumulated with the power authority. And this, I believe, is applied in the next 12 months. So it's kind of convoluted in how it's being applied, but in the way it's being calculated right now by Riot, it's much more lucrative for them to take miners offline and to redivert the power to the grid than to mine Bitcoin. It's incredible that that's the case, but it is. As of July 31st, so Riot announced they are holding 6,696 Bitcoin on their balance sheet in comparison to June, where they were holding 6,654. So the amount of Bitcoin is about even. They're holding a little bit more this month compared to last month, but it goes to show you they're selling off their Bitcoin. And in this case, they announced they sold 275 Bitcoin. and they're using this money obviously for operational purposes. And their hash rate stands at 4.2 exahash per second at the end of July of 2022, in comparison to 4.4 at the end of June of 2022. So it went down 200 petahash in the last month. And this is because they're relocating some of their equipment, and it's going to eventually come back online. But so all in all, if you look at it, you'd be wondering, this isn't that great. Their hashing rate went down, the amount of Bitcoin they went down, but this the curtailment, the benefits they got, $9.5 million. That's a substantial amount. Plus, they're going to be expanding their operations. They anticipate to have their hash rate ramped up to 4.9 exahash by August of this year, so by this month. And that's a pretty big jump from this month. And even, you know, that's a pretty big jump. Also, they plan to get to their 1 gigawatt operation to be operational, and ultimately they plan to get to 12.5 exahash per second by Q1 2023. So with all that being said, on the surface, like I mentioned, it seemed like, they mined less Bitcoin, their hash rate went down. This isn't great news from their July update, but that $9.5 million of credit that they got from power authorities due to their curtailment, I like that. This gives them a lot more ability to, they're going to be able to mine way more Bitcoin as a result, cheaply, because they'll be able to use these power credits instead of just continually mining Bitcoin at the current rate or market rate. The power credits are going to be applied, and they're going to be mining at a cheaper rate down the road. At current rates, this equates to over 400 Bitcoin that just from this one curtailment activity. So take this into consideration. You look at it and you think it's not that good, but it is. It really is. Riot is, I think it's a good play. Their 1 gigawatt facility is going to be absolutely monstrous. The fact that they're going to get to double digits exahash per second, that again is fantastic. Plus, just even the amount of Bitcoin miners that are going to be coming online for Riot this next month, it's going to be a win-win. So some really good news for the next few months in a row that you're going to hear from Riot. It's going to be a lot of smiles on my part. I like Riot. I like what they're doing, and it may be a good buy. Finally, for the main event, we have some news, some fantastic news from Coinbase. Finally, some good news from them. And they are going back, it seems, at least a little bit to their roots of Bitcoin. So what happened? Coinbase has partnered up with BlackRock, who has trillions of dollars under management. Massive story, and a huge win for Coinbase, might I add. In fact, it's so good the pump music's got to come out for this one. So it's being announced that Coinbase has partnered up with BlackRock, and through BlackRock's Aladdin's platform, they're going to be able to provide institutional clients. Remember, BlackRock has trillions of dollars of assets under management. So they're going to provide their institutional asset clients with the ability to do crypto trading, custodying, prime brokerage, and reporting capabilities. And it's initially going to be done starting with Bitcoin. They are going back to their roots. Absolutely love it. I think eventually it's going to be opening up to other digital assets, but the fact that they're going back to their roots, starting with Bitcoin, this is absolutely massive. Coinbase could potentially score a lot of activity on their platform, because BlackRock is not a small player. This is a partnership that is massive. We cannot overlook what this is. There is so much assets under management under the BlackRock umbrella. If they could take even a small portion of that and move that into the Coinbase trading, Coinbase is going to be able to increase the amount of revenue they're generating quite a bit just from this one client alone. So this type of story, absolutely massive. Coinbase pumped hard this morning, and it's been, unfortunately, it's gone down since then. But still, at the onset of this, and rightfully so, investors realize how big this is. Does this make me now a Coinbase bull? Heck no. Why? Because I know what they're all about. They're all about the altcoins. But this story still, it has very strong ties to Bitcoin. This I like to see. This I am very happy about because A, it's bringing in one massive player that could potentially buy Bitcoin. But number two, Coinbase is now focusing on, at least initially, Bitcoin. What? This is what you want to hear. You want to hear them. They don't want it. I don't want to hear them talk about NFTs. I don't want to hear them talk about staking ETH. I don't want to hear them talking about all that garbage. I want to hear them saying, look, we're selling Bitcoin. We're going to sell Bitcoin to clients. We're going to sell Bitcoin to massive companies that want to come in. We'll give institutional investors an opportunity to come in and buy Bitcoin. That's what I want to hear from Coinbase. Stories like this. So all that being said, truly a massive story from Coinbase, finally something good. Let's see if there's gonna be more to it moving forward. But again, even with this, I'm still definitely not bullish on Coinbase, but I'm sure a lot of people either may be now or they're breathing a little bit better because they were bag holders. They have been bag holders since the very beginning or near the very beginning, and the price has not gotten anywhere close to the first few days of trading when Coinbase IPO'd. So hopefully they'll get back there again, but we'll see. There's always some doubt in my mind because remember they were talking about bankruptcy proceedings. What would happen if should there be a bankruptcy not too long ago? So there's always a seed of doubt in my mind, and there should be one in yours. Okay, I hope you enjoyed this episode and finally some good news for Coinbase. It was due, but I want to make sure you're aware before we sign off that you know that I'm not a financial advisor and Joey's not a financial advisor and nobody on the show has ever even talked about being a financial advisor. So make sure you do your own research when you park any money based on what we're talking about. And with that being said, tomorrow I'm going to be hitting the link, so I'm not going to be back. So have a great weekend, and we'll reconvene on Monday, and take care.